Module 4, Lesson 3. Shamanic Intelligence. What you'll discover. We're going to be talking about the ability for shamanic intelligence in this phase. Why women were the original shamans. We'll talk about the difference between intuition versus thought. And we'll be discussing ways of turning up the volume of your intuition. We don't often hear about female shamans, but consider this Chukchi proverb. Woman is by nature a shaman. Why would this be an ancient Native American saying? What's the root of this way of thinking? Some experts have said that the premenstrual phase is a time of great shamanic intelligence in women, with their heightened emotion and heightened sensitivity. The word shaman, though, can drum up some images we may have been programmed to associate. It's typically associated with male healers, wisdom keepers, or perhaps ceremony creators. And that's fine. However, there's significant evidence that points to the first ever shamans actually being women. As stated in the book Shakti Woman, written by Vicki Noble, she states, Geoffrey Ash, a noted British scholar on shamanism, noted that shamanism was not an individual phenomenon, but something that was practiced by a female group. And the power of the female group was biologically rooted in menstruation and the blood mysteries of birth. So this is a really exciting find from Geoffrey Ash, a British scholar on shamanism. He's basically pointing back to the ancient red tent, or the moon lodge in Native American culture. This was a time when women would come together, bleed together, meditate together, pray together, and receive downloads and insights. These downloads and insights were considered so important that they often dictated what the whole tribe or group would do, which is what Tanishka is referring to. She's the author of the book Goddess Wisdom. She says, in the Native American tradition, if you wanted to destroy a culture, you first destroy its moon lodge, the place where the women gather to intuit insight to govern the tribe. These red tents and moon lodges were so important and their insights considered so special that they would often govern the entire tribe. So let's go back to the word shaman for a moment. Shaman literally translates to one who knows. Why would women be, by nature, one who knows? It's possible it's because they are capable of seeing the whole picture. In cultures that celebrate shamans, they often also celebrate Mother Nature, her changing seasons, and the power of life, death, and rebirth. Women hold these cycles inside of them and relive them every month. Therefore, they understand. They become the one who knows. The outward cycles are living inside of the feminine body. Also, her energy is externally focused, then internally focused, then back again. External sensations begin to decrease, smell starts to decrease, lubrication starts to decrease. Your body is preparing to go inward. And as that energy becomes more inwardly focused, intuition increases. So what exactly is intuition? It can be defined as the ability to acquire knowledge without proof, evidence, or conscious reasoning, or without understanding how the knowledge was acquired. Sometimes, though, it can be hard to tell the difference between an intuition and a thought. So, how do you tell the difference between those two? intuition speaks to you in feelings or sensations. You don't know why, but you just have to turn left. Thought, however, is your mind as it speaks to you in words, stories, or rationalizations. So intuition is, I don't know why, I just have to turn left. Thought is, should I turn left? Seems to be a bus station down there. But if I turn right, I think there's a taxi that way. Maybe that could get me home faster. But I only have bus fare, so I think I'll go left. Do you see the difference here? You're not sure why. Your body just really wants to go left. You get a tingling sensation and you're like, that's the way. Versus words, stories, and rationalizations of your thoughts. So another example here, I often have people ask me, where should I travel around the world? I want to have a deep experience. Should I go to India? I've heard India is really good. It's cheap. There's lots of yoga. The Beatles went there. They got enlightened. So I should probably go to India. Yeah. To which I always answer, yeah, maybe. India is great. But is there a place you've always wanted to go? A place that gives you a little zing when you think about it and you have no idea why? I had a friend who once answered, oh yeah, Scotland. I don't know why, but I've always wanted to go to Scotland. My advice is go to Scotland. There's something for you there. Follow the zing, even when it makes no sense. This example, the friend was rationalizing India, but intuiting Scotland. There's the difference. The zing versus the thought. I love this quote by Wayne Dyer. If prayer is you talking to God, intuition is God talking to you. So don't underestimate the power of that intuition. As well as leading you on some amazing adventures, intuition can also warn you of danger. Interestingly enough, you were actually able to predict danger more accurately in the premenstrual phase. In a study in the premenstrual phase, women were able to spot snakes more easily in real life, but also in hidden pictures. Some scientists think this is because you have heightened intuition because you might be pregnant, and it's a way of keeping you and the baby potentially safe. Whatever the reason, let's capitalize on this increased intuition. So I want to talk a little bit about Gavin De Becker. He wrote the book, The Gift of Fear. He's a big time security consultant. He was a security consultant for Oprah, Madonna, as well as some government agencies. He says that in almost all cases, women had some warning to violence, but they talked themselves out of it. He's quoted as saying, "You have the gift of a brilliant internal guardian that stands ready to warn you of hazards and guide you safely through risky situations." He's a big, big advocate of listening to intuition, especially women, and especially as it involves feeling fearful for a reason you don't understand. Here's an example. A woman is waiting for an elevator, and when the door is open, she sees a man inside who causes her apprehension. Since she's not usually afraid, it may be the late hour, his size, the way he looks at her, the rate of attacks in the neighborhood, an article she read a year ago, it doesn't matter why. The point is, she gets a feeling of fear. How does she respond to nature's strongest survival signal? She suppresses it, telling herself, I'm not going to live like that. I'm not going to insult this guy by letting the door close in his face. When the fear doesn't go away, she tells herself not to be silly, and she gets into the elevator. Now, which is sillier? Waiting a moment for the next elevator, or getting into a soundproof steel chamber with a stranger she's afraid of? The inner voice is wise, and part of my purpose is to give people permission to listen to it. Give yourself permission. Give yourself permission to listen to your intuition. Give yourself permission to feel deeply here. Give yourself permission to be powerful beyond your wildest dreams. Give yourself permission to love yourself in your full expression, and therefore giving yourself permission to love others in their full expression. Give yourself permission to rest when you need to. Give yourself permission to say no. Give yourself permission to listen to your body. In many, many ways, all of the work that we're doing here for this next 8 weeks and beyond is about permission. You have permission if you just give it to yourself. So remember the story I told at the beginning of this course about being in imaginary couples counseling with my womb? I said, all you do is yell at me and you hurt me. And my womb answered, if you would listen to me when I whispered, I wouldn't have to yell to get your attention. Well, the next day, I vowed to listen to my body more deeply. And what I noticed is that first thing, when I walked into my office the next day, I felt this constriction, closing up, tightening in my body, stress in my back. And I thought, oh, this is my body whispering. I don't like it here. I started to notice how my body started to feel about all sorts of situations. Did I want to go left? Did I want to go right? To the party or stay home? Say yes to a project or no? I started tuning in, and slowly that inner voice got louder and louder and more clear. So we're going to revisit this Megan Watterson quote. Before you can hear, much less follow, the voice of your soul, you have to win back your body. You have to go on a pilgrimage beneath the skin. This is such a good quote, it's worth bringing up again. The way to turn up the volume on our intuition is to win back the body. It's starting to listen when it's whispering to us, and then being brave enough to act on that whispering. And in that way, your body starts to say, okay, she's listening to me, and that intuition gets turned up. So one little warning here, it's the warning of the rabbit hole. Remember we talked about the rabbit hole? Your inner critic is not your intuition. That voice that tells you that you have no friends, you made a fool of yourself at dinner last night, that you've gained too much weight, whatever it's saying, that voice is not your intuition. Sometimes those feelings of heaviness or loneliness, they just need to be felt, but that doesn't mean that's your intuition speaking. Listen to your body, the zing, the sensations. Here's another way that I like to turn up the volume of my intuition. You can try this practice too and see if this works for you. Ask three different parts of your body the same question. So you go into your mind and ask your mind a question and listen. And then place your hands on your heart. Ask your heart the same question. And notice. And then place your hands on your womb. Ask your womb the same question. And notice. Notice any subtle differences as you move from words to feelings. Here's an example of how this worked in my life. There was a women's march. I had a group of friends that were going. And so I couldn't really decide. I asked my head, do you want to go to the women's march? And I heard, yes, these friends invited you. Last year was so empowering. People at the office will ask you and you want to be able to say, yes, you went. Then I took a deep breath and I asked my heart, do you want to go to the women's march? My heart said, I'm actually really tired. I need a day to myself. I feel achy and I'm about to start my period. I noticed, took a deep breath, and asked my womb, do you want to go to the women's march? And I heard a clear no. No zing, no excitement. Rest feels better in my body. then I was able to make my decision, and I opted to stay home and miss out on the women's march. But it was so much better for my body. Following your intuition isn't always easy. And sometimes your intuition asks you to do some hard things, like not go to a women's march, or even much harder, like, say, end a relationship, move to a new city, or say no to something important. But intuition is always moving you in the direction of your own growth. Gavin De Becker says, intuition is always right in at least two important ways. It is always in response to something, and it always has your best interest at heart. So practice turning up the volume of your intuition, and I look forward to seeing you in the next lesson.